Got a ton to get done. Hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Coming up in about 20 minutes, the new head basketball coach at Alabama State, Mo Williams. Alvy's 4 days to war at the bottom of the hour. Already ripped one golden ticket. See what we get done between now and the top. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As promised, we are joined right now by a CBS football analyst, also a two-time Super Bowl champion, a seven-year NFL vet, played his college ball at Florida State. He was the 62nd pick overall back in 05. He is Bryant McFadden. Bryant, really good to have you back. First off, how are you and everybody around you doing during this pandemic?
Everybody's around me doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. This has kind of become the new normal, you know, only going out for important things like the grocery store, things of that nature. So I'm starting to kind of get used to this vibe, unfortunately. But, everybody's optimistic that eventually we can get back to some type of normalcy sooner than later. So everybody's in good health. That's the most important thing.
That is. And it is really surreal and really strange. Like, if you were to think back to your playing career and the routine you had during the offseason, how much would it have been impacted by the coronavirus and the fact that team facilities and gyms have been closed for as long as they have?
I think the biggest, adjustment I would have had to make would be the professional trainer or the professional training that I was receiving, for quite some time. Going back a month ago, you weren't really allowed to be out being able to go about your training like you would if this was a normal off-season regimen. So I think being able to implement workouts on my own would be the best ideal to try to stay in shape. Now things are starting to open up a little bit. I'm starting to see guys work out with the professional trainers now. But I think the most critical time would have been, that mid-March, early April period, where they pretty much locked down everything, and there lies the high school workouts, doing things on your own before you had the means to go out and have professional trainers, be able to assist you.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. Exactly. So you tweeted out a clip earlier today, and you were talking about Lamar Jackson and how he's played in the postseason. He has been truly special since he took over as the starter for Baltimore, but his January numbers are not that great. Is that just a couple of bad games against good teams, or in your mind, is that a cause for concern?
I think it's, a few bad games against really good teams on the biggest stage. Now, his rookie year, against the Chargers had an ideal game plan for the Baltimore Ravens. So you can't just put that on Lamar Jackson. But yet and still, he plays the most important position. He plays the most criticized position, which is the quarterback. So you still kind of gave him, he's a rookie, big stage, first postseason game. All right, most rookies struggle on that level. And then a year ago, looking at how well he played in the regular season that led to an MVP award, and then playing against the Tennessee Titans and not seeing what we saw from Lamar Jackson definitely was something to really look at. Now, Jim, the entire team struggled, right? I mean, we saw drop passes from his wide receivers. The play calling was not ideal. We saw his defense clearly couldn't stop the ground and pound attack from the Tennessee Titans. But when you're the MVP, expectations follow you regardless of what the other positions are doing around you, and there lies the opportunity to really dissect to see exactly, is this more about Lamar Jackson or is this more about the entire ball club?
Bryant McFadden is joining us. To that point, Bryant, it's kind of self-evident, but I'm going to ask you, because you've got a pair of rings, how different is playoff football from regular season football?
It's night and day. It's like when you're playing in the postseason, when it comes to NFL terms, it's like a game seven. There's no series. So it's do or die. And both teams have that same mentality. Both coaching staffs have that same mentality. And you don't see the mistakes. And when you do see the mistakes, that usually put that ball club in position to lose. And everything is intense. The intensity is at all-time high. Guys are moving faster, Jim. I remember my rookie year, the preseason, the vets were telling the rookie class, guys, you guys haven't seen nothing yet. I mean, preseason football is okay, but when you get to the regular season, everything goes up 10 levels. And then they said, but different. Yes, it is. But when you get to the postseason, guys are moving as fast as they potentially can. I mean, everything is intensified, and you don't see the mistakes that you usually see in the regular season because you're playing good on good.
We're talking to Brian McFadden. All right, so let me get you to stay in the AFC North for 1 minute. When you look at Baker Mayfield, he went into last season, he had all that hype coming off that good rookie season. What was the biggest difference for you between his rookie year and last season?
I think year two, just from the individual standpoint, Jim, I don't think Baker was having fun. You remember his rookie year? He was having fun. You can tell. You can see from his body expressions. You can see from his facial expressions. He was enjoying the opportunity of playing football. Last year, we didn't see the same demeanor from Baker. I mean, we saw more of Baker on commercials than actually being relaxed on the football field. So I think the fun was not there. And, of course, it's hard to have fun, Jim, when you're struggling, when you're not winning ball games, you're not playing pretty good football. And I think the trust that he had in his coaching staff left. If year one, Freddie Kitchens was getting the best out of Baker Mayfield. He understood what he did well, what he didn't do well. But he put him in position to be successful. And year two, that relationship between coach and player was not tight. It wasn't glued together. And I think that resulted into Baker not trusting what the coaching staff was telling him to do. And because of that, they weren't successful.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. All right, so what are your thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger, Bryant? He got a haircut. He's throwing once again. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert had said earlier in the offseason he thought the team might have a better Ben Roethlisberger after the surgery than even before it. What's your reaction when you hear that?
I mean, you have to be excited, you know, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, if you're part of the organization. Big Ben is still a top-tier quarterback, in my opinion. I think the last year we saw Big Ben play a full season, 2018, he threw for like 5,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken, over 30 touchdowns. So Big Ben is still a top-level quarterback, in my opinion. And hearing Colbert talk about the strength, you might get a better Big Ben, you know, after this surgery. I mean, other teams should be mindful and should be afraid of that, I think, because looking at his offensive line, the structure, the stability, looking at the wide receivers, and, of course, Connor, this is a big year for Connor and Juju, contract-like years. If those guys are healthy, that offense is going to be entertaining to watch. And then I don't need to talk about the defense, Jim. You know what they have on the defensive side. And I did an HQ hit a few days ago, and, of course, people always call me, you know, they say I'm biased toward the Steelers and I'm a homer. And sometimes I might be. I got two miniature Lombardis in the house because of the Steelers.
You bet.
But when you look at that team from top to bottom, especially if you have a healthy Big Ben, you have to like their chances of not just winning the division, but having a deep postseason run if everything goes accordingly when it comes to health.
So, Brian, what about that defense? For instance, there was a lot of talk right after the Minka Fitzpatrick move. What do you make of how he impacted that defense after the trade with Miami?
Man, listen, Minka made a good defense great. Like, and when you get traded mid-season, during the season, Jim, that's a very, very difficult task. Let's think about the non-football-related priorities you have to deal with. Moving, you know, if you have a family with you, being able to get adjusted to the new area, finding a place to live. And then when it comes to what the football priorities, learning the playbook, learning the verbiage, being able to understand the check. Man, when he got there instantly, he was rolling. So he made a good defense great, and you can tell Keith Butler and his staff, they were using Fitzpatrick the best way possible, something we didn't see with the Miami Dolphins. And Pete Prisco, you know, our colleague with CBS, he did his top 100. Jim, Pete left Minka Fitzpatrick off his top 100 list. Guy who made all pro. And I jumped on Pete's list from top to bottom. But when I saw Fitzpatrick left off Pete's top 100, clearly I got fired up. I was sweating. I was ready to jump through the monitor at Pete because that was disrespectful to leave a guy like Fitzpatrick based on what he did last year off his top 100 list.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. I feel you. All right, so what about Tom Brady? What do you make of his decision to go to Tampa, and how do you think he's going to show up there this year?
I'm okay with his decision. Actually, I wanted to see Tom move, leave the Patriots when it comes to, you know, what he's done. And just from the the spotlight, giving us something to talk about. I think it was huge. It was great for the game of football, especially going through the situation that we've been going through when he made this announcement. It was great for us. And the move to go to Tampa is perfect. I like it. You go into a situation where you have a veteran coach that has won a championship. He's been around veteran elite-type quarterbacks, an upcoming play caller in B-Left, Byron Leftwich. And then personnel-wise, Jim, I mean, you got two number ones at the wide receiver position, in my opinion, in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And then you revamped the offensive line, made some additions to the offensive line, especially in the draft. Then you do the unthinkable, right? I thought Rob Gronkowski was okay jumping off the top rope and elbowing people in wrestling.
Right.
I didn't think Gronkowski would ever come back for his outstanding, phenomenal spike in the end zone. But you go recruit. Well, Tom basically recruited Gronkowski out of retirement. So you add him to the thick of things, and with O.J. Howard, and you got Cameron Brate, you got three nice pieces at the tight end positions that you can easily win you ball games. So, in all, big-time move. And, yes, if you don't know by now, I am picking the Buccaneers to win the NFC South.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. All right, now, you and I have talked about cards in the past. I know you were watching The Last Dance. How do you think that Michael Jordan would have done in some of the legendary card games that you and the Steelers used to have back in the day?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jim, it's funny that you mentioned that because I had a few conversations with some of the guys I used to play with. I would have loved to play cards with MJ. Number one, the reason why, there are a few reasons why I would love to play with MJ. Number one, his money is not running out anytime soon. So there's not a hand he don't like. He's just going to play, lose. And he's okay with that because his money trail is extremely long. So that'll be one of the reasons why. Secondly, for me, the opportunity to hit him across the head. I mean, you heard stories about Michael Jordan going to casinos and losing a million, right? Because he just wants to continue to play. He's so competitive. He don't believe he can lose. Man, we would have played all night long. Man, I know we talked about the story about the Super Bowl against Arizona. If Mike would have been in that game, we probably wouldn't have went to sleep at all.
That is the funniest thing, too. Like, he's never going to run out of money, and he's never had a hand that he didn't love. How about playing golf with Mike, right? I mean, there's never been a shot that he didn't think he could hit. Mike's something, man. You better be rich if you're going to play like that.
Oh, no question. And also, too, I'm not a golfer, but just watching The Last Dance and hearing some of the stories that were related to The Last Dance, Michael, I don't think he was a good golfer, Jim, because he lost a lot of money on the golf course. You never really heard Mike winning anything significantly speaking on the golf course. So that's, if I was a golfer, yeah, I want Mike on the golf course because he can't play, but he thinks he can play. And those are the guys that love to bet on themselves when they don't really realize they're not that good.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, and golf has always been the great equalizer. That's why guys like it, because you can never master it. You can never perfect it. It's great. And then when it's right, it feels so good. You're always chasing that feeling. Brian, the one thing I can't figure out about Mike, and I don't know why people are talking about it, but not to the extent that I thought they would. My man looked like he was burning cigars off of cigars. I know he was kind of a freaky athlete. I know the guy's work ethic was absolutely amazing. How could he smoke the way he smoked and get up and down the way he did?
I mean, extremely talented and just gifted. Some guys have the it factor when it comes to taking care of their bodies. They can do it 50% and still give you 100% in whatever it is they need to do on the court, on the football field. And also, too, you know what was mind-boggling for me was seeing these guys drink beer after a game.
Right. Well,
they were drinking canned beers after a win in the locker room.
Like, the thought being that these guys were slamming beer after games, or the guys like that who were like legends were drinking light beer and could do a hell of a lot better.
No question. And I'm thinking, like, I was watching The Last Dance, and I was like, you know what? What would have happened if we, after a football game and in the locker room, guys were just drinking beers? You know what I mean? So I don't think that would ever happen in today's game. But for them, that was back in 97, 98. That's not too long ago. They were actually drinking beers. You know what I mean? So I would imagine other teams were doing the same thing. But it also tells you when it comes to your structure, your body structure, things that you can do in certain sports and some things that you can't do in certain sports.
I don't know, man. I think to your point, though, it's more about the fact that the act of drinking light beer on a training table while they're suited up after the game, it just was such a funky look. That wasn't the 60s either, by the way. That was the 90s. But then you fast forward, Brian, how cool is my man in that $4,000 tumbler loaded up with his $1,800 tequila and just kind of rocking it, doing the interview? Like, he's just sitting there with that tumbler. I mean, why did he do that? Because he could. He's Mike. But that was a classic look. So whatever we thought about that look in the light beer after the game, he more than made up for it with the tequila or the scotch or whatever he had in that tumbler.
Brian, no question. The thing is, I wonder how much that scotch or whatever it was cost that he was drinking. You know, they like there's no telling how much a shot of whatever that was is in whatever bar you can go get it at or restaurant you can go get it at. But, man, Mike is a living legend. I think people forgot how good he was. I actually watched Game 7 last night against Utah, and that was a game we saw in The Last Dance that Scotty had back spasms. But the way Mike carried that team was unbelievable. And just – I forgot how good Mike was. You know, I was in high school, early high school, watching him towards the end of his career. But, man, Michael Jordan was a bad man, man. His mentality was seek, hit, and destroy whoever it is. And he often did that.
You know, guys my age, since we covered it, and I used to interview guys on that team, Mike was not an accessible guy. Like, you couldn't talk to Mike. But I remember very clearly, Mike was a very, very bad man. And then finally, to your point about the numbers, I think the speculation was he was pulling from one of his own bottles of tequila, his Jordan branded tequila, and I think it was $1,800 for the bottle. So if you're asking me what would a glass of that cost, I just know this. I found a bottle of gin, Brian, that was $800, and I found it in a hotel once, and I said, I've got to have a martini. That martini cost me $125. And I did it just once,
really?
Just to say I could do it, just to say that I did do it. So if an $800 bottle was a $125 martini, we're looking at probably a $250 glass of his tequila. Because
wow.
He could. Because he's Mike,
hey,
man.
Hey, Jim, you know, you big time, though, so you can handle that type stuff.
I did once. I could handle it once. I could handle everything once, man. You know this. Once. A 7-year NFL vet, and I knew as soon as we did it the first time, you and I would have to do this lots of times. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champ. He was the 62nd pick overall in 2005. Bryant, good to have you back, my man. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
That was fun. Bryant McFadden covering a lot of ground. I love what he said about playing cards with Mike. I would love to play cards with Mike because, and Bryant McFadden back in the day played high stakes card games. I'd love to play with Mike because he was never running out of money and he loved every hand he had. When we come back, Mo Williams, Alabama State head basketball coach. Haven't run down Mo in a minute or two and I'm looking forward to it. Stay tuned. Alvy's 4 days that were coming up. I may get a phone call or two in here before the end of the hour. I'm off tomorrow. Bill Ryder will be here in studio and Monday as well. Stay with it.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm really excited to do this one. I'm Jim Rome. Remember, I'm not here on Friday or Monday, but I've been here the entire pandemic. It's been great. I love it. Telephone number is toll free. We are joined by the head basketball coach at Alabama State. He was named head coach last week. He is an NBA champion, an NBA All-Star, a 14-year NBA vet. He was the 47th pick overall in 2003. He is Mo Williams. Mo, it is so good to have you back. It's been a minute or two since you and I have spoken. I want to get caught up on your life and your new opportunity. But first, how are you and everybody around you doing during the pandemic, Mo?
Hey, Jim, first of all, man, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. We go way back, for one. But the family is doing good. You know, family's safe. Everybody's good. I'm excited about this opportunity to lead this program to prominence. You know, I'm excited.
Mo, you and I do go way back. I'm so happy to have you back, and I'm really pumped for your opportunity. Now, you were named head coach at Alabama State last week, and you were officially introduced yesterday, but this is something you had been preparing for a long time. In fact, you said back in 2005, your third year in the NBA, that you knew you would one day get into coaching. When did you first have that thought, and how did you know?
Well, that was that time. You know, I was in my third year in the NBA, and that summer, you know how it goes. Summertime, you know, we going on vacations, we going to Bahamas, Dominican Republic, anywhere for a month or so, just to kind of get a little R&R. You know, that summer I took the time and traveled with a bunch of kids, man. We went across the country playing games, and I coached them, I mentored them, and things like that. And that's where the bug started. And then a few years after that, like in 2008, I started my own youth program, which I had over 150 kids in it from all the way from age 9 through high school. And in an 8-year span, probably had over 50 kids get Division I scholarships in my program, which led to the next step was being a Division I coach. And I've done this for the last 2 years out here in L.A. at Cal State Northridge to prepare myself for the opportunity that's in front of me now to be a head coach. And all the experience and everything I've learned through that process has prepared me for the moment.
Mo Williams joining us, the new head coach at Alabama State. I absolutely love that you're an assistant at Cal State Northridge for a couple of reasons. Number one, Mo, 818 for life. I grew up in the 818. And number two, you're in the Big West. And I went to UC Santa Barbara, so I know that conference really, really well. What was the experience like at Northridge, and what did you think of that conference?
It was great. You know, coming into the conference at first, I had no clue what it entails. You'll be pleasantly surprised with the talent. We have one of our own. He's a freshman and a sophomore. We had him 2 years, and guess what? He's in the draft. You know, that gives you an idea of the talent level that's in the Big West. We did really well. The 2 years we was here before we got here, they won 3 Division I games total the previous season, and we come in the first year and finish tied for fourth in the league, and in the second year, which is the previous year, we finished second in the league. So that's what I learned, you know, how to build a program, understanding how to build a culture, set your foundation, and carry on from there. So there's a lot of things that I've learned through this process, especially at Northridge. Being about going to Alabama State, we have kind of similar resources, similar ways to be successful. So I've already got a blueprint here on how to be successful, and just taking that blueprint and just carrying it over.
Mo Williams joining us. I'm going to ask you about your program in just 1 minute. One more thought about the Big West, and this is amazing, Mo, because you guys went into UC Santa Barbara and you beat my Gauchos. You went to the Thunderdome, and I know you just said that you were pleasantly surprised by the talent level. Let me take you back in the day. Can you imagine what it was like back in the day when Tark and UNLV used to roll through the Big West, and they would come into our house? Brian Shaw was with UCSB, but Larry Johnson, Greg Anthony, Anderson Hunt, all the fellas, Mo Scurry, they would roll through there. Can you imagine what the Big West was like back then? And we were right in the middle of it, man. As somebody who played 14 years in the NBA, you could respect that. That little conference was going off back in the day. Could you envision that?
Absolutely. We talk about that because obviously when I got to the Big West Conference, you know, I started to learn more about it. Started to learn about previous teams that was in it. I mean, you think about, you know, a lot of the teams that's, you know, like a UNLV, those type of teams, and, you know, they was in that conference. That conference was rolling. And you talk about the Big West, you know, probably outside the Big West, you talk about it was the Pac-10 at that time, but that was probably the biggest conference outside of Big West on this side of the Mississippi. So the Big West is a good conference. It's still a good conference. You know, it's still a competitive conference. I really enjoyed every moment. I was happy here, but obviously the head coaching position was something I had a goal to do. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
And I really respect that you as an NBA champion could kind of indulge me by talking about the Big West. Now, what's really impressive to me, Mo, is the way you went about this. I mean, a lot of guys with your career might have said, I'm an NBA champion. I'm an all-star. I played 14 years in the NBA. Just give me a head coaching gig. I'm not going to pay my dues. I don't need to be an assistant. I don't need to go back in the summertime and deal with AAU ball. But you were grinding it out. You didn't need to, but you did. Why was that your approach?
Because I wanted to, as I say, get it out the mud. You know.
What do you mean by that? I like that.
Yeah, I just wanted to get out the mud. I mean, just wanted to just start from the bottom, you know, start from the bottom and learn, you know, and just do things the right way, you know, get experience, things like that. It's no different from my preparation to be a professional athlete. It was countless hours I put in, you know, getting up at 5 in the morning, going to run, then going in the weight room, then working out in the gym, then going to school, and then doing the same thing after school. That same process that developed me into the player I am. So as a coach, I wanted to take that same approach where learning from the ground up. You know, I didn't want nothing to be given to me. Nothing has ever been given to me. So I took the same approach in coaching. You know, just learn, you know, start from the bottom, you know, do all the little things, and obviously how life works. You know, you build up on a lot of little things that add up to something huge, and that's what has occurred. You know, that's the reason I'm in the position I am today, prepare for it. And that's what I didn't want to happen to me, just me getting a job just off of what who I am, my name, and what I've done. I wanted to be on what I what the experience I have and the know-how of I know what I'm doing. And I wanted to get to that point. I feel real confident and real comfortable that I grasped everything, I understand everything, and I can lead my program.
Mo Williams joining us. So I'm really curious, with your pedigree, with that mindset, with that work ethic, you were going to have opportunities. Clearly, what was it about this opportunity with Alabama State that made you think this is the place where you want to take that shot?
Well, obviously, you know, I went to the University of Alabama, and, you know, those are my roots. You know, being back in Alabama, Montgomery, my family is from Mobile, Alabama. Obviously, I grew up in Mississippi, so that area is somewhere where I'm very familiar with, and far as recruiting, far as just being comfortable and things like that. So when I was thinking about which head job that I really want, I thought it checked all the boxes. Learning more about the opportunity, I got more and more excited. You know, we got great facilities, got a great community. We have a great staff that I'm working with. So I'm excited on all fronts. You know, I'm ready to, you know, obviously working now, but I was ready to get to work.
Mo Williams, my guest. So, Mo, what does a Mo Williams coach basketball team look like?
Well, for one, it's a foundation. You know, you got to set your culture, and you want your culture to be obviously a championship culture. And when you talk about a championship culture, you're talking about setting – getting the right guys, and even the current guys that's coming back, you know, cleaning the slate for them. Because one thing about players, I'm a player too, and I can relate to players also. You know, different style, different coaches, and different culture changes a player the way they approach the game and where they play. So I'm excited about the team I have coming back. We're recruiting some great kids. My main thing. The way I coach, I get to the style of play. But my main goal, man, I just want to make a point of this, because it's the most important factor is getting these kids graduated. One thing about it, every kid think they can be a professional athlete, and a lot of kids go to school thinking that's what they're going to school for, and it's almost training their mind to understand that academics is the most important thing. And that's my focus, but at the same time, if I can get them focused and mature in that level, the on-court things, it'll carry over to on the court. Now, on the court, you know, the style of play, I mean, obviously, you know, modern day, you know, you want to get up and down the floor and run. You want to get easy baskets, but to be a championship-caliber team, you got to have a great half-court offense, because it come down the stretch the last 6 minutes of the game. It's not going to be a lot of runouts, and that's going to be a lot of easy baskets. So you got to be really good. But three areas you got to be really consistent at. You know, you got to rebound the ball, you got to make your free throws, and obviously you got to, you know, lead the league with the less turnovers. That's a championship caliber team if you're doing those things consistently every single night. Defensively, obviously, we want guys to score over us, not around us, not through us, but over us. You know, so those are kind of points of emphasis, you know, and the adjustments that go out through the course of a game, even the course of a year. You know, you adjust to your team, you adjust to your personnel on what sets you run and things like that. So, you know, we're going to have a fun brand to watch. We're going to be exciting. We're going to have some athletes. We're going to be fun to watch.
Mo Williams joining us. Mo, one last thought before you go. I mentioned you're an NBA champion. Nobody can ever take that from you. I mean, it'd be very easy for me to ask you about LeBron. It'd be easy for me to ask you about Kyrie. But instead, I want to ask you about somebody else. You've made the point that you cannot find a better guy or a more loyal guy than J.R. Smith. What was J.R. like as a teammate?
Man, that's my boy, man. You got to think about it. You know, people, he gives you guys so much stuff to open the show with,
dude.
And that's his personality, man.
Believe
that's what
that.
You love about him.
Believe that. Why do you think I'm asking you about this guy? I love Swish. I'm sorry, Mo. Go ahead.
He's just authentic. You know, he don't think about saying, okay, I'm just going to be politically correct all the time. No, he just kind of be honest. And that's the person he is. You know, I love him to death, man. He's a great teammate, and he works extremely hard. I mean, he puts in work on his craft. I mean, if you follow him on social media, he's always in the gym, even though he didn't play this year. He was always in the gym. And that's something he don't get credit for, just, you know, how hard he worked and how much he put into his craft. I mean, this is something we do for – that's our livelihood, you know. And at the same time, he takes that very seriously. And people kind of get misconstrued because of his personality, but at the same time, man, JR, as a teammate, as a person, as a friend, you know, he's a great person.
This is why I wanted to ask you about him, because you're right. I mean, he's given us a lot to talk about. He's given us a lot of content, but there's a lot more to the guy than meets the eye. Mo Williams is the new head basketball coach at Alabama State, an NBA champ, an NBA All-Star, a 14-year vet. Mo, it's so good to get caught up. Again, I'm really pumped for you and the opportunity. I know we'll do it again soon, and it's great to have you back in the jungle, Mo. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, Mo. Always have, always will. Mo Williams, he did some great jungle interviews back in the day, and another one right there. Alabama State has got their guy, and Mo's got a great opportunity. All right, we ran heavy on that, but had to. Just had to. Let's take a short time out. Bottom of the hour sports update for you here. Alvy's 4 days to war right after that. Here is the very latest. So good to have Mo Williams back. Great to get caught up with him. On hold right now is a very concerned citizen. A citizen of Huntington Beach. That's coming up. Quick reaction. DJ Quinn tweets, the Brandon Boyd interview is the most riveting, off-the-beaten-path interview that you have done. I would love to hear you talk to more creative people like that. Appreciate that, DJ. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I should do more of that. But that's why we have that side hustle, to do things like that. Alvy, it's not a complete week, but there are still 4 days, so I know you have plenty of content. Roll the 4 days that were. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. All right, let's get it. Big show for you, and we are front-loaded. So episodes 9 and 10 of The Last Dance aired last night, and there were plenty of moments. There were the battles with the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah! It became personal with me.
Wait, whoa.
What?
It became personal
what?
With you?
It became personal.
This series
personal
should not have been called The Last Dance. It should have simply been called It Became Personal With Me. Langston Galloway joining us.
He really is. Just like everybody else. You know, he makes mistakes and does everything just like me and you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have anything in common with Mike. I've got no game.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats.
Yo, pizza. You may have gotten over on me, but now it's personal. Now you're on my list.
Food poison.
Pizza, you ho. Clearly, Mike got the last word with pizza.
Emailed.
Five guys delivering a pizza is normal, right? Regards, Jenna Jameson.
Hawk has done less to enhance your brand role than that crop-dusting valet from the Geisha House.
And you brought him on air 78 times. You ran him 57 of those times. The guy is basically Parody Larry.
Stay in your lane, fellas, and keep my name out your
Chris,
mouth.
Chris! My man, get out of the water. Get to safe land.
That was a truly pathetic segment by Canada.
Woo!
Nick Nurse is joining us once again.
They play D when you're watching The Last Dance. Something, something to 76 or something, something to 80.
Or something, something to 54. Nick Nurse joining us.
Yeah, that's right. Chris's smack is so weak, Magic Johnson's medicine couldn't fix it.
Magic Johnson's medicine couldn't fix it. Is that the type of thing you think is going to get you into the smack off, because it won't?
Attain the HIV.
I can't wait until players show up picketing that their constitutional dipping rights have been violated. No Coke, no dip, no jaw, not even any Red Man. Oh, hell no. And good luck trying to ban fighting when a guy's dealing with those nicotine fits. Ben Golliver, we watched Kobe in retirement. I can only imagine what LeBron's going to be in retirement. Do you really think that LeBron's going to be grinding gears? I don't think so, right?
No, I hear you, man. Look, Jordan was great at basketball, but evolution, not really his thing, right?
Dude, you can't even get through a call because your lungs are shattered. Just get off of me. Hey, Matt in Garden City, get off of me.
Hey, you, Reggie, get off of me. Hey, Matt, get off of me.
Twitter.
Hashtag bring in the hacks.
Bring the hacks in.
I hate the six like I hate my ex-wife, but they're mine. The rest of Canada is our bitch. Call us Big Daddy. We're your father.
Chuck E. Cheese. Man, imagine knowing your pizza sucks so bad that you have to change the name of the restaurant just to get people to buy it. Let's just run this scam until somebody figures it out. Let's jam as much provolone into our pockets as we can.
Your kid can be a kid.
Herm Edwards, if the phone rings, do you owe it to yourself to answer?
I'm in a really good place, and I'm going to give them some candidates when they call me, and it won't be me.
There you go.
This is my last job, partner. You're going to be talking to me the next 5 years.
Come on, man. Ain't nobody in this earth will ever come and try to take food off my plate.
Come on my plane, and you try and lift food off my plate, you're going to get your ass kicked. You want to take my food? Come and get it. Tough guy, you can get this tray of airplane food, and then you can get these hands.
These hands. And if you didn't do anything back in the day, you had 7 years, to do something. You're not going to do anything now. So just shut the hell up.
Go ahead, rack that, Alvin.
Rack him!
We are joined by PJ Fleck.
My goodness, Zoom has changed our entire life, right? FaceTime's one thing, but Zoom, it's everybody together. And I think we're going to be applying a lot of lessons we learned from this as we move into the future.
I mean, bro, it makes sense that you remind me of a hot dog because your face looks like it clumped when somebody cooked it. I mean, bro.
What is it about personal appearance is not show fodder that you don't get?
Next week, when we're back on Tuesday, we should have these videos bumping in and out.
It's not Pornhub, all right? It's the Jim Rome radio program on CBS Sports Network. Let's keep this clean. There isn't enough time to do anything that you shouldn't do, so don't do it.
It's not my fault if I have to go over to the corner and rope a coiler inside that decorative vase.
Rope a coiler. Wicker does suck. I've always hated wicker.
The thing that I'm the most afraid of is the thing that I want and or need the most. So I've learned to kind of say, f*** it, and just walk headlong into those metaphorical flames.
Tremendous Friday to all of you, wherever you might be. Wait, Rome? It's not Friday. It is for me.
You do the math. I'm doing the Alfredo.
Mess slays me every single time.
You came to my house in Agoura for a party. I believe it was 1978.
No, I was not going to house parties in eighth grade.
No disrespect to the Baltic Republics.
No disrespect.
But we couldn't find an example west of the Mississippi.
What, is there no case study from Laos?
Bruh.
I got your back, dude. You know I do.
We're still frogging that face hat, completing this downward spiral.
His money is not running out anytime soon. So there's not a hand he don't like. He's just going to play.
Roach Day.
Can't wait for you guys to start watching us on some TV and competing again.
You got a decent looking lady.
Debacle of a call.
Be dead.
Thank you, brother.
Brother.
Roll the
boat,
Skype. Go Gophers.
You big time, though, so you can handle that type stuff.
Appreciate that.
We go way back for one.
Shakey's on Ventura Boulevard, yo.
Yo.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Good night now!
Oh, man, there's so much good stuff in there. How about Bryant McFadden getting on that run? How about Jeff in Lincoln getting reset yet again for his JC blast? No disrespect to this concerned citizen. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Sup, brah? Rob, you've been around a long, long time. What has the last week been like for you, and what do you make of all the jungle response, and what was it like to talk that kind of noise to the mayor?
Rob, it's been great. I want to thank you for engaging in civic duty and political activism talk this week. And as always, I've enjoyed 100% support from the clones. Word is that the hate coming from Twitter, it's all Russian bots, brah. They're trying to divide us and polarize us, brah. But everyone else, it's been 100% support. So it's been very epic, except for that guy, that kook who called from Arkansas. Glad I could help your daughter out with some new vocab. But that metaphor you engaged in was gave new meaning to the word meandering and muddled. So that was good. Nice, brah. I want to tell you good luck this weekend, brah, on your mini vacation and your Fortnite Armageddon that you're going to be dealing with, brah. That's going to be brutal. Our mayor, our city council, they haven't gotten this much run, and I know they don't like it. I'm going to hit them with links. I think our mayor took down one of her Twitter feeds. So she's running scared. But, you know, they say sunlight is the best disinfectant, brah. So it's been awesome. I'm going to suggest something. Alvy, I know I'm walking the thin line of blasphemy in the jungle, so hope you're running tape. And just give me a second. It's only a suggestion. But instead of silk bra, I think I should now be known as premium content machine in HB. He glossed me. He glossed me. Later, bra.
Later, bra. Later, premium content in Huntington Beach, bra.
He glossed me.
Hey, Adam, really quickly, on the way out the door, throw your cans on. If the clones would like to be a part of the Smack-Off run-up, what can they do really quickly?
Email us, smackoffvideos@gmail.com. Smackoffvideos@gmail.com. 10 to 20 seconds, hype to smack off, pick your winner. Do not play music in the background. We don't want to pay for that to play it on CBS. Just send us those videos, smackoffvideos@gmail.com.
We will remind you of that next week, too. You want to be prepared for Memorial Day, so make sure you've got Pepto-Bismol. Try the new Pepto-Bismol Chews. They're a great-tasting way to get the same relief that you know and love from Pepto-Bismol, so you can enjoy all the grilling worry-free. Use as directed. Keep out of the reach of children. Bill Ryder is in tomorrow and on Monday. I'm going to take that long holiday weekend, so you clones, keep it safe, stay healthy, listen to Bill, and I will see you Tuesday. I'm out.